Okay, I think we're going to start, Benny, and just please WhatsApp the other kid who wanted to come. It's really good to meet the boys that I didn't meet before. And Benny and Benjamin, it's really good to see you again. And I'm broadcasting to you from the Gush Beis Medrash because, Mirtz Hashem, we're going to start to recite L'David Hashem Ori V'Yishi during Chodesh Elul. And one of the key psukim is Shifti Beveis Hashem Kol Yemei Chayai Lachazos Benoam Hashem V'Levaker Behechalo. To feel that you want to be in the house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's so important in life to have a house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whether it's a shul, or in your case, a school with some of the great rabbanim, a yeshiva that can be yours for a lifetime. Sadly, over the last couple of months, we've lost a little bit about that Beis Hashem. We're trying to recover it a little bit. I've had incredible, incredible nachas being able to be in the Beis Hashem the entire summer, not just Zooming from long distance, but teaching every single day in this Beis Medrash. And we've had people here throughout the summer. And now, of course, the stampede is going to start on Sunday. Actually, tomorrow. The half stampede is happening tomorrow because the overseas boys are coming tomorrow. But the real stampede is Sunday when 400 Israelis are coming. So I thought it'd be nice to at least have the first year. Hopefully we'll get a chance. We're going to try to work out a big yeshkoach to Benny. Two thumbs up for Benny for organizing this year. And hopefully we'll get a chance to do this about 20 minutes every week until things settle down, just to get some online Torah from Eretz Yisrael. So tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh Elul. And Rosh Chodesh Elul creates a lot of religious energy and religious intensity. And the Chassam Sofer used to say that the fish are shaking on Chodesh Elul. Even the fish can feel the Chodesh Elul. The walls are shaking with Chodesh Elul. And it's a chance for introspection and for character improvement and for remorse and for sadness and for wailing and for looking inside of yourself and trying to be a better person. Everything that Tshuva entails. But there's another side to Elul. And there's another side to this whole process. And that's the side I want to speak about today, and in particular, through the Rashi Tevos of Elul. The word Elul, of course, corresponds to a Babylonian month. All the months, Nisan, Iyar, Tishrei, they all come from Bavel. In Tanakh, until we go to Bavel, they're known by their numbers, the first month, the second month, the third month. Once we come back from Bavel, all of a sudden, these names that are very Babylonian, they're almost direct parallels. I see, Donnie, you've got some letters on the back of your wall there, so you're a linguist. You look very carefully. It's like Nisun and Uar. It's like very, very similar to Nisan and Iyar. But Chazal felt that these names that came back from Bavel, they first appear in Megillas Esther, by the way. One of the interesting things about reading Megillas Esther is that you really see the first appearance of Nisan, of Teves. You actually see the months appearing for the first time because they don't appear beforehand. But Chazal sensed in the word Elul, they looked in the Torah and they found psukim that capture some of the experiences of Elul. So I'm going to discuss with you the most famous one, Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li. And then I'll talk about a less famous one and what they each represent in terms of setting our mind for tshuva, trying to expand our consciousness beyond just Chet, Avera, Tshuva, Kapara, how can I improve? What else is there out there to think about these months? And how does Elul capture it? Okay, so the most famous one is Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li, which means that no matter what happens, no matter how far we fall, no matter how much we betray, no matter how much we stray from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we still have this unbreakable bond. Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li. No matter what happens, I love Hashem, He's my Dod. One of the ways we relate to Hashem, Hashem's our Father, Hashem's our Creator, Hashem's our Redeemer, Hashem's our Mother in certain parts of Tanakh. But one of the ways we relate to Hashem is Hashem's our husband. And we're his wife. And that's what emerges in the famous book called Shir HaShirim, the book of Jewish history. We'll talk a little bit about that sefer today. So Hashem is our dod. Dod in Hebrew means an uncle, but in Tanakh it means a male, affectionate male. And we are HaKadosh Baruch Hu's female. Ani L'Dodi, we are to Hashem, V'Dodi Li. Aleph, Lamed, Vav, Lamed. Ani L'Dodi, V'Dodi Li. El. Now, what... You have to appreciate this pasuk, you have to see it in context. I'm going to share a screen with you. I actually prepared some sources for you. What's the context of this pasuk? So the truth is, the pasuk actually appears in an inverted way earlier in Shir HaShirim. In the second parak of Shir HaShirim, Hashem is dying to hear us and dying to see us. You know these words. Harini es marayach, I want to see you. Hashmini es koleich, I want to hear your voice. Mirtz Hashem, one day you'll fall in love. And you'll be so madly in love. All you want to do is hear the voice of the woman. All you want to do is see her, just to look at you. Harinius Mariah, I just want to hear you. And the Jewish people are still too weak and still too immature. This is probably in Mitzrayim, when part of the Chet HaEgel wasn't that we were rebels against Hashem, but just We were slaves. We were insecure. We couldn't accept the full monotheism without faltering, without having something physical to fasten our minds to. We were just, as the image here in Sherashirim is of a woman who can't leave her vineyard because there are too many foxes that want to destroy. Echazulanu shualim, shualim ktanim, echablim kramim. There are too many foxes who want to destroy the vineyard. So Hashem wants us, but it's a little too early in Jewish history. We're still too young. We're still too fledgling. And even though we tell Hashem we can't come because we're afraid of all the foxes that are going to overrun the vineyard, how do we end? Listen carefully. It sounds familiar, but it's a little different. Dodi li vani lo. Not ani li dodi v'dodi li. Dodi li, Hashem is for me, vani lo, and I'm loyal to him, even though we're not able to get together. Even though we're not willing yet to fully buy in, we know that there's a relationship that can't be broken, but not the relationship of ani li dodi v'dodi li, but dodi li vani lo. If you want, it could be a month called Delol, not Elul. Elul means ani li dodi v'dodi li. Delol is dodi li vani lo. Dalad lamed vav lamed. Now, what's the difference between Delol, Dalad Lamed Vav Lamed, Dodi Li Vani Lo, and Elul? Dodi Li Vani Lo, not only are we not willing and not ready to be with HaKadosh Baruch Hu yet, but we're not even willing to take the first step. First HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Dodi Li. First you show us that you're committed. Dodi Li. First you make the first step. You send me a dozen roses. You show your commitment. We're too intimidated. We're too young. We're too weak. We're too... And then, of course, once HaKadosh Baruch Hu commits and initiates, Dodi Li Vani Lo. So the early part of Jewish history, which the early part of Shir HaShirim represents, because Shir HaShirim is chronological, even when we fail, it's not because we're rebels, and even when we fail, it's because we're still too weak and young, and even when we fail to fully encounter Hashem, we can't even say ani l'dodi. We can't even make that first step of commitment. It's Hashem Kodesh Baruch Hu, you make the first step, and then we'll reciprocate. Dodi li vani lo. When does this concept of ani l'dodi v'dodi li first emerge? Well, it emerges two times, and it's important to know the difference. So now we're going from Perek Beis in Shir HaShirim, which is the early part of Jewish history, to Perek Hei in Shir HaShirim. And now our inability to be with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a little bit more sinister. This story talks about HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming and knocking at the door. It's a very famous pasuk. Rabbi Soloveitchik named the sefer of his after this pasuk. Kol dodi dofek. Hashem is literally knocking at the door. He wants us to come in. He wants us to let him in. Chazal say this is when Hashem invites us back from Gullus. After Bavel, 70 years, Ezra invited all the Jews to come back. Anyone know how many Jews actually came back? Question for the Sivur, how many Jews actually returned? Only 40,000. Most Jews stayed in Bavel because it was too comfortable with it for them. Chazal say that if all the Jews had returned during Ezra, you guys wouldn't be living in Tinek. Mashiach would have come, or in Rishel, Mashiach would have come, and the second Beis HaMikdash would have been Mashiach. But we blew it because we didn't come back. So Hashem's knocking at the door, and we're not willing to let him in, and there's a breakdown in the relationship. So kol dodi dofek, Hashem comes knocking at the door, and finally, after being so lazy, finally, kam teni liftoach lidodi, we got up to answer the door after finally realizing we have to go back home, we have to return home. And what happened? Pasachti ani l'dodi. Hear that? Pasachti ani l'dodi. I opened up for Hashem. Ani l'dodi. But where is Hashem? Not dodi li, but dodi chamak. Hashem ran away. Because Hashem closed the door, and Hashem, we lost our opportunity. So you see how there's almost a half elo. Pasachti ani l'dodi. V'dodi chamak avar. And Hashem ran away. And then we go out into the streets, which of course means into the streets of the world and the streets of history, and we're banged up and we're persecuted because of our disloyalty and our inability to enter Eretz Yisrael. And then finally people are coming and telling us, this is all the fifth and sixth parak of Shir HaShirim. People say, well, let's help you find your lover. Where did he go? Where does he hang out? And when we finally say in the end of the sixth parak, and now this is already in the middle part of history, we were not just excused for being too immature, but now there's more expected of us, and we betray Hashem by not returning to Eretz Yisrael. And where is Hashem? So we say, Hashem went to the garden, and then we say, Ani l'dodi v'dodi li. This is the first appearance. No matter how far we feel, no matter how fallen we are, no matter how humiliated we are at our behavior, we know Ani l'dodi v'dodi li. There's a bridge between ourselves and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a love between ourselves and HaKadosh Baruch Hu that can't be broken. And at this point, it's not dodi li vani lo. At this point, we're confident enough in our relationship to start with ani l'dodi, because this is after Har Sinai. This is after we've studied Torah. This is after we built the Beis HaMikdash. This is after we've had Malchus Beis David. We have accomplishments. In the beginning of Shir HaShirim, we're in Mitzrayim. What do we have to say for ourselves? We're just invited to a Kadosh Baruch who's eloping in the desert. So when we fail to fully commit to Hashem at the Egel, all we can say is, Dodi Li, I know that he loves me, Vani Lo, and I love him back. But now it's thousands of years later, and there's so much tread on Jewish history. So now, even though we failed, and we know that we're not close to Hashem, we still know that he loves us, and we love him. Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li. So this pasuk means that even when you fail, at a personal level, at a collective level, the love between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you and the love between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and our people doesn't fade. It exists. It's the platform. It's the backdrop. And that's a different place I want you to be in during Elul. Aside from thinking about Chatoyim and Tshuva, think about how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves you, how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us. And you know, in a relationship, I'm married for many years, so in a relationship, when you insult someone, you can try to repair and apologize and introspect and talk about it and communication and recover. Or you could say, you know what? We just love each other so much. Let's just try to get past it because our love is stronger than whatever dispute. I'm not going to improve myself and hurt you less. I'll just love you more. Again, there's no excuse to hurt people in a relationship. But sometimes you have to go back and take a few steps back and look at the love and the relationship you have with someone. And a lot of our tshuva on Yom Hashanah Yom Kippur is not about telescopically fixing this or repairing that or recovering from this or feeling remorse from that. But it's in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And one of the images that Yeshaya uses for tshuva is our tshuva should be like the snow, white like the snow, not just white like cleaning semer, katsemer yu, but white like the snow, kashel gilbinu. What's the difference between the white effect of the snow and the white effect of cleaning wool? There's a lot of differences, but one of them is snow doesn't really clean anything. The dirt underneath remains brown or black. The foliage remains green. The snow doesn't really clean anything. It covers it up with a glean. So we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even when I can't do tshuva, just cover up my failures. Cover up my weaknesses. Let the love supersede. That's what Ani L'Dodi Li means in context. Now that you see it in Shir HaShirim, there's a whole different meaning. It's not just I love Hashem and Hashem loves me. I love Hashem and Hashem loves me even when I fail. And I now have earned the love that I can put myself first, not Dodi Li Vani Lo, but Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li, because I have confidence as a people. Now, here's a secret that a lot of people don't know. The words Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li appears a third time in the end of Shir HaShirim. Now it's the end of history. And now we have a lot to be proud of, not just building the Beis HaMikdash, and not just Malchus Beis David, and not just studying Torah, but look at what the Jewish people have accomplished over the last 2,000 years. Surviving against all odds, representing Hashem in this world despite the hatred and the hostility, suffering the Holocaust, maintaining our faith. One of the most powerful parts of my own tefillah is when I think about Yitzchak Avinu at Har HaMoriah, and Chazal tells us that since Yitzchak was virtually burnt on the altar, Hashem looks down at Yitzchak's virtual ashes and is so filled with compassion and pity for our people that whatever request you make, b'schus Yitzchak, Hashem will answer. And I think to myself, if the ashes of one person who was virtually burnt in Yerushalayim can elicit such an immediate response from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what about the real ashes of 6 million people that were burnt in Europe? What about those ashes? My knees buckle when I think about Yitzchak Avinu, because the virtual ashes of one person who was ready to die can elicit and compel Hashem to such an extent. What about 6 million? There's a myth that I don't want you to fall into. It's called Niskatnu Hadaros, that everything about previous generations was great, and everything about our own generation is fallen, and we're just midgets, and we have no merits, and we're disempowered, and we're enfeebled. Obviously, earlier generations have a deeper masara. They're closer to the point of transmission. They're closer to Har Sinai, and we have to defer to their opinions about halacha. But there's some great things that our generation has accomplished. Surviving the Holocaust and still remaining committed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, building the state of Israel despite all the crazy odds and the hostility and the roadblocks and serving the army and the hatred you face in New York because you want to fly a Jewish flag because you're committed to our state. That's a schus. When you dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should be banging your fist on the table, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what happens in the end of Shir HaShirim. In the end of Shir HaShirim, again, we're trying to find Hashem. And Hashem says, Zos kol maseich dam salat tamar. Hashem now likens us to a tall date tree because now we're tall. And we have accomplishments. And we say, Hashem, we're coming, but we may not be there yet. Ani L'Dodi. I belong to Hashem. Now he's looking for me. Now he wants me. Not the do de leave, but now all he wants is me, because now I have something more to bring to the table. So I want you to see the progression of do de leave anilo, which talks about a relationship that can't be broken, but it's very, very, timid and shy. Hashem has to come first. We're very young. We don't really know our way through the relationship. We're overwhelmed at Har Sinai. And then history evolves, and we accomplish so many great things, but we still fall, and we don't come back to Eretz Yisrael in the days of Ezra, and we get punished for it. But despite all this scorn that we face, we still remain firmly, firmly convinced. Ani l'dodi v'dodi li. I'm saying this to you. You're sitting in Bergenfeld. You're sitting in New Rochelle. Do you know what it was to live as a Jew in the Middle Ages, and to constantly, constantly hear the drumbeats and the barrage that you're the children of Satan, and God has discarded you, and Mashiach has come already, and Jesus is the one, and you've rejected. And then you look around you, and it looks that way because Judaism is in decline, and Christianity is surging, and you have to face that psychological warfare and respond to it. Now, Baruch Hashem, to live as a Jew in our world, you look around you and it makes sense. We're at the end of days. We're at the end of history. Mashiach's right around the corner. That's what's happening in the end. So when you think about Elul, think about A, shifting your mind into a different modality. It's not just about your tshuva, but about trying to rebuild the relationship with Hashem. And think about how it started with Delul, Dodi Li Vani Lo, and then it got to a point of Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Chamak, that we walked in Hashem and Hashem lost his patience with us. But even though we were scattered through history, Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li, Haroi B'Shol Shanim, we retain that relationship no matter how far Hashem seen, how far Hashem. I can't imagine what people were thinking during the Holocaust when Elul came. And the Rav got up and talked about Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li. What does that mean? People are being slaughtered. They're being burnt. They're being herded like cattle. They're being treated like material, like experimentation. But Jews always have that sense that despite the crushing reality around them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu still loves us. And now it's the end of history. Ani L'Dodi V'Elai Tshukaso. I love Hashem. I'm proud to say it. And now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're waiting for you to redeem us, but we have expectations for redemption, and it's no longer even equal. I mean, obviously, we can't be better than HaKadosh Baruch Hu, obviously, but Elai Tshukaso, we know that Hashem loves us even more than the commitment of Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li. He has a cheshek for us. He desires us. So that's the first famous Rashi Tevis of Elul. Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li. It comes from Shir HaShirim. I wanted to give you a bigger backdrop to understand the resonance of Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li. Okay? Now let's discuss a second one. Second one comes, if you look at this pasuk in Nitzavim, Umal Hashem Elokecha, Es Levavcha, B'Es Levav. You see, Aleph Lamed, Vav Lamed, Es Levavcha, B'Es Levav Zerecha. Elul. What makes this pasuk so important? How does this teach us about tshuva? This pasuk in Nitzavim can only be understood by reading a previous pasuk in Parshas Ekev. In Parashas Ekev, HaKadosh Baruch Hu delivers a mitzvah of milah that applies even to women. Wow, that's risque, right? How can there be a mitzvah of milah that applies even to women? So the mitzvah of milah in your male body, of course, is only for males. But there's also a mitzvah to remove the arlas levavchem, the foreskin of your heart. And obviously that applies both to men as well as to women. How do you fulfill the mitzvah of removing the foreskin of your heart? So the Rishonim understand that this refers to the mitzvah of accepting rebuke and tochacha from people. One of the gateways to real growth in life, and one of the gateways of real change, is the willingness to listen to people who challenge you. We all like people who ratify us. We all like people who make us feel better about ourselves. We all like people who affirm who we are. There are very few people who are actually willing to challenge you to higher ground. They're willing to push you. They're willing to challenge you. They're willing to get in your face. A lot of them have access to grind. That's why it's hard to listen to them. But when you find something you should look for in a wife one day, something you should look for in a friend, definitely, definitely something you should look for in a Rebbe, someone that doesn't just affirm and celebrate who you are, though that's important, but also tries to reinvent you, not reinvent you, but reimagine new vistas, and reimagine new heights to scale by asking you, can you change? Are you your best version of yourself? Are you bringing your best self into expression? And that's the mitzvah of tochacha. Without it, it's really hard to grow. I know that when Rav Lichtenstein, who literally sat right there, pointing the computer to where Rav Lichtenstein sat, and I would sit in that little corner with Rav Lichtenstein. Here's the Aron HaKodesh, and here's Rav Lichtenstein's seat. I would sit there and really, really listen carefully. I didn't always agree to everything Rav Lichtenstein told me, but I listened and thought very carefully before I acted differently. So the mitzvah of Umaltem es Arlas Levavcha means to listen to Tochacha, to listen to your input, to listen, ask yourself a good mental experiment. When's the last time you heard something really difficult about yourself and you actually listened rather than just ignoring, brushing it aside? Obviously, don't answer for me. I don't want to, you know, that's creepy. I just met you, but just do these mental experiments. When people say things to you that hit you, try to personalize them. Try to say, well, when's the last time I did that? When's the last time it happened to me? Because when you listen to people give share, especially on Zoom, it's almost like there's a wall between you. Okay, it's nice ideas, shut off Zoom, move on. The way in life to personalize is to say, well, wait a second. When's the last time I did that? When's the last time I, how does that make sense? Why does it matter to me? How does that matter to me? So are you a listener? A lot of people are bad listeners, either because they're lazy. A lot of people are afraid to change. Change is hard. It's hard to face your flaws. It's hard to face your limitations. Some people are cocky. They're too confident in themselves. Some people are too confident in their own moral arbitration. It takes a lot to listen. There's like three or four skills you need. You need humility. You need courage. You need self-confidence. If you're a self-confident person, the reason that people today are so opinionated is because they're ultimately underconfident. Your identity isn't your political opinions. Your identity is who you are, your values, your behavior. You could be a Democrat, you could be a Republican. It doesn't shouldn't define you. You take a position. Because I mean, I can't imagine someone saying, a Jew saying, who am I, a Democrat? I'm an Oved Hashem. I believe in Eretz Yisrael. I study Torah. I vote Democrat. I vote Republican. I vote. And that's why people get so wrapped up with their views and their ideologies, because they think that's their identity. And you don't want to give up your identity. Someone challenge the fact that I'm an Oved Hashem would really hurt me, and because that's my identity. It's not my I don't care about my politics, my views, my sports team, my favorite color, my favorite food, my favorite restaurant. Those are just views. And don't become too opinionated about your views because you're not digging down deep into your identity. So there's a mitzvah to actually listen to Tochach. In fact, some of the Monahe mitzvah, some of the people who wrote Sefer Mitzvahs, the Sefer Mitzvahs Katan, which was a French Sefer written in the 14th century, actually list this as the 49th mitzvah to listen to Tochach. That's what the pasuk demands of us in Parshas Ekev. In Parshas Nitzavim, we say, Umal Hashem Elokecha, es levavcha, ve'es levav zerecha. Hashem, you're right. You want me to circumcise my heart? You know what? I can't. You do it for me. You told me, Umaltem es arlas levavchem, you should circumcise the heart? Kodesh Baruch, I got news for you. I can't do it. You do it for me. Now, what does that mean? That means that it's legitimate during the process of tshuva to ask for Hashem's help. That's amazing. What do you mean to ask for Hashem's help? Tshuva is freedom of choice. That's what it's built upon. The Rambam dedicates three prakim to freedom of choice in the middle of Hilchos Tshuva because it's the boldest implementation of freedom of choice, not just to decide who to marry, what job to take, where to live, what to eat, but who you are, to reinvent yourself, to reinvent your past. It's a celebration of the freedom of man. So everything around me is Hashem. Hashem made this world and this building, but he made me. But he said, you know what? In this heart, Hashem doesn't come in. It's my heart. I decide autonomously what I'm going to do. I can decide to reject HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chas V'Shalom. I can decide to accept him. It's all my decision. And that internal world, to improve, not to improve, to change, not to change, it's all me, not HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because that's the world Hashem gave me autonomously, your own inner world. What about saying, Kodesh Baruch Hu, I'm not confident that in my inner world I can do it. I want you to come into my world and do it for me. What does it mean for Hashem to do tshuva for you? It's hard to even say. It's like it's antithetical. It's illogical for Hashem to do tshuva for you. Well, how can a Kodesh Baruch Hu help the process? Sometimes your mind gets very distracted. Can you ask a Kodesh Baruch Hu, please Hashem, help me with the distractions. Please, a Kodesh Baruch Hu, give me the strength to face myself. It takes a lot of strength to face yourself over the next month. Tshuva takes, you know how long tshuva takes? 1 second. But it takes a lot of time to peel away the layers and to put the ego, the narratives, the false delusions, who you think you are, what you tell yourself every morning, to really look in yourself. And I know that tonight is Elul here. I'm going to start Elul earlier than you guys will. I'm frightened. Elul frightens me. But I'm also pumped because I know that if I really take it seriously, I'll be a different person in 40 days. and I really want to be a different person in 40 days. I really don't want to be myself. Take stock of yourself. Maybe write down today two or three lines after this year. How do you expect to change over the next 40 days? Don't share it with anyone. Put into a file, put into a calendar, set a reminder. Because sometimes in life, when you're going through an experience, especially voluntarily, now we're going through Corona involuntarily, it's important to be conscious of the change. The more conscious you are of change, the more likely you are to change. So I can ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please help me with the distractions to tshuva. Please give me the courage to do tshuva. Please help me. I'm committed to tshuva, but I need your help in the implementation of my tshuva. I know there's going to be a lot of temptation. I know I'm a little bit weak. Make me stronger. There's a range of ways that you can invite HaKadosh Baruch Hu into your world. And I know that at a certain point, very honestly, I get to Yom Kippur and say, I just can't do this. Hashem, I need your help. I just like, I stick my hand up to Shemayim and I say, Hashem, just take me. Just take me as I am. Take my tshuva. Take me to Shemayim if you want. Leave me on Aretz if you want. I'm trying so hard. I just can't be as MS as I'd like to be. So I just give you my desire, not necessarily my honesty. I can't promise you that I'm honest because I'm too complicated for that. But I know that I really, really, really want you. If you put a pill on the table and told me if I took that pill, I would honestly, honestly convert all my tshuva dreams into reality. I'll take it in a second. I ask that question a lot with guys in interviews. Guys,
what do you think?
What?
What do you think?
Would I take the pill?
Yeah.
Let me take a step back. First of all, don't take any pills. But second, last thing, Rabbi Wald will ask you, how was the shiur that by Terry? Tell us to take pills. Okay, this is not being recorded. Okay. Sometimes boys ask me in an interview, I don't love learning yet. Am I right for a place like Gush? So I'll say, let me ask you the following question. A lot of boys your age don't like learning, but you don't want to learn, but do you want to love learning? Is that something you want? So the boys, how do I know that? Say, well, I give him the pill test. If you could take a pill and you would magically want to learn, then you're someone who wants to want to learn. And then you'll be all right once you get into yeshiva with all the enthusiasm and the environment. If you're not sure if you take the pill because you're not sure if you want to learn, then maybe a different yeshiva is better that will make you want to learn. But I don't think you need to want to learn because you're high school kids, and high school kids find learning sometimes very difficult. But you have this dream in your mind that you want. When I was your age, literally, I was thinking today when I was your age preparing for the shiur, because I always like to get back into the space of the audience that I'm teaching. I was a pretty good kid. I was a valedictorian. Okay, what can I say? I didn't like walk around with a safer all the time. I did my stuff. I listened to music. I was a good baller. One day we'll talk about that a little bit. I'm pretty good in basketball, but I was a guy. But if you ask me on my bucket list, what do I want to be? Do I want to be a Talmid Chacham? Oh, yeah. Ura, for sure. Like, for sure, that's something I want to be. It was planted deeply within me. I want to be a Talmid. I didn't know I wanted to be a Rebbe. That was the last thing on my mind. I know I live in Israel. Last thing on my mind. But I certainly knew I wanted to be a Talmid Chacham. So much of tshuva is going at it alone. Here I go again on my own. But also asking Hashem to be part of the process. Help me. Help me find myself. Help me understand myself. Help me get past the distractions. Help me have the courage. Help me in my world. Help me in the circumstances. I know that core tshuva has to be mine. It can't be yours. But there's so much of a role you can play, Hashem. Help me listen. Take off my indifference and my apathy. The arlas of Avchem. So these are two different images of Elul that are each conveyed by the famous by two famous psukim. One is Ani Lidodi Vidodi Li. Here it is in Shir Shirim. But I just want you to understand what this pasuk means. I'll summarize it for you. It means, Hashem, I may be fallen, I may not be everything I could be, but I know you love me and I know I love you. And that counts during tshuva. It counts as a person and it counts as a people. And it also is a time to improve your relationship with Hashem, not just your chatayim, and also a time to think about how much you love being a Jew. Say, well, Hashem, maybe if our relationship isn't that great, but I love being a Jew. And I know you love the Jews, right? So you probably love me also. There's a certain beauty of Elul about just reaffirming who you are as a Jew, who you are as an Oved Hashem, as a person, who you are as part of Am Yisrael. And the second part of Elul is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we ask you, I know you want us to uncover our hearts. I can't. You want us, Umaltem es arlas levavchem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I can't. Umal Hashem Elokecha es levavcha. The Eslav Abzeracha, please Hashem, please, please, please uncover my heart for me, and then my heart will be an open passageway to listen to some of your ideas. Okay, I'm very makbir that this year shouldn't go too long. I wanted to tell you two stories of Israeli soldiers because Parsha Shoftim is Tefillah L'Shalom Tzahal. So there are some great stories about that tefillah that we say for soldiers and when the soldiers said it before going into Gaza and what they saw in Gaza. So we'll have to deal with that next week, okay? I don't want this year to go too long.